We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
Heat win! Heat win, a hugely important, significant, monumental game. Like, I mean, this had so many implications going forward. It's just, it's wild. I can't believe they were able to beat the Pistons C squad with the Heat C squad. Let me turn my TV off in the background. I'm going to break some copyright laws. for real, man, I like these games. They're fun. You get to see some of the young guys in almost like a G League, Summer League scenario. I contend, I set it on the timeline, like, KZ Akpala and Precious Achiuwa are going to really need those G League and Summer League runs next year to build up this kind of confidence, because you see a skill set there. I mean, Precious looked like the greatest role man in the history of the league tonight, like the biggest lob threat you've ever seen, like Clint Capella-esque. He got a double-double. Overall, just a fun game. They blew him out from tip-off. They controlled the game. But more importantly, last game of the regular season, the Heat, as much as we complain, as much as we get upset, the Heat won 12 of their last 16 games, right? They avoided the play-in round. It's looking tonight like the Lakers, the other NBA Finals team, are going to end up in the play-in round playing the Golden State Warriors. And how fun is that going to be, watching Steph try to send LeBron home? And, you know, it's – and for the Heat to avoid that – while you're watching the Lakers struggle, we have to give them those props, right? Like, good job of winning the play-in. Good job with, you know, there was one point they were 14th in the East, seven games under 500. They've come from a bunch of injuries, a bunch of struggles, COVID protocols, all kinds of crap, right? And they managed to make the 16, and they're headed for a first round with the Bucks. Not the most ideal matchup, but listen, I ain't afraid of the Bucks. I know Heat Twitter isn't afraid of the Bucks. Jimmy Butler ain't afraid of the Bucks. We sent the Bucks home in five last year. So I think, listen, not the most ideal situation, but I think we are as a show are ready for the postseason. I think the Heat are ready for the postseason. They're playing strong going into it, and they have a week off, which is the most important thing, which is why you want to avoid the play-in. So go ahead, bring me out, Brass. Somebody said, did Alf not watch the final 2 minutes? I know I didn't really watch the final 2 minutes.
Well, we saw the hero thing. We were talking about that.
Oh, yeah, we talked about the hero. He got up. He was fine. And they got a week off, which I think is the most important thing about avoiding that play-in tournament. A week for Dragic to get healthy, Jimmy to get right. Like, they have a week to get right, and that's going to be super important. So, on a special day, we will get to it in a second. You know, me and Brass are giving you a little bit of a hint, you know, why this is a special day. Because fuck them numbers, but the number 516 is an important one. So let's find out what everyone's drinking. And I always go clockwise, but today I'm not going clockwise. Oh. I am starting with my right hand, the birthday girl, Tiffany Meeks. That's why we got the Fuck Them Numbers shirt. Go ahead, go to shop.miamiheatbeat.com. Get your Fuck Them Numbers shirt. Support us. Support Tiff. Happy birthday, Tiff.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. We can't clap and sync because the first of all, because you guys
are white,
and then the tape delay, it's going to be a mess.
Right.
But happy birthday, Tiff! Yeah, what are you drinking tonight, right? Or are you done drinking after this weekend?
I'm in load management right now, rest and recovery. The last 2 days have been a lot, so right now I'm just drinking some water and just trying to get myself together.
This week off more, just as bad as the Heat do. Carla Liana says her birthday is tomorrow. No, yes, Carletiana. I say that shit wrong all the time.
I love you struggling to say it. It's my
It's Carletiana. Carletiana. Her birthday is tomorrow. Big fan of the show. We love you so much. Absolutely. Happy birthday to you as well. G, what are you drinking in celebration of the Heat making the playoffs? Also, Chris Bosh getting inducted to the Hall of Fame. Yes. Stick around for that, guys, around the 10-15 minute mark, somewhere around there, whenever I remember to get back to it. We have an amazing Chris Bosh montage created by the one and only Brass Jazz to honor one of our, I think everybody on this panel, one of our favorite players, just legend, just one of the most fun players in Miami Heat history. Congratulations, Chris Bosh. So deserving. The only thing that sucks is that he has to go in with Mike Wilbon and Paul Pierce.
That just sucks.
Yeah.
Mike Wilbon, who slandered him throughout his tenure, and Paul Pierce, who's just disgusting.
Well, I will say it's kind of nice that he gets to be probably maybe the best player in the class.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. I mean, some people argue with Paul Pierce, but everybody hates him because of his post-career, because of his, you know, just his time at ESPN. So, like, he's going to be the most beloved guy in that Hall of Fame class. It ain't going to be, I mean, Chris Webber, like, and Ben Wallace. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit iffy on that one. Like, listen, a lot of deep boys, but that's a rough one for me. I'm sorry. And I love Ben Wallace.
Would have been cool to get Hardaway in there.
Yeah. But listen, sometimes you say the wrong things. Mm-hmm. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes, Timmy. Mm-hmm. And I do love we can talk about that a little bit, but I do like the fact that he has done everything in his power to make amends and has done a lot of really good work. Mm-hmm. And if you guys don't know, he went on the radio with Dan Le Batard and said just horrific things about gay and LGBTQ, and just it was just horrific. It was like it sounded like a caveman. And then, you know, and I do think that's a big part of the reason why he's not in the Hall of Fame, but he has done good work since then. And those are the things that we want and we ask for from people who make mistakes. So props to Timmy. But listen, if you don't get into the Hall of Fame because of that,
you reap what you sow.
Exactly. You know, don't be ignorant. There's no excuse for it, you know, in today's day and age. There never was.
He's always gonna be a Hall of Famer in our hearts. So
he's a Hall of Famer in our hearts. But listen,
what a lead in.
Like I said, play super games, win super prizes. Mm-hmm. What are you drinking today to celebrate Chris Bosh and Tiffany Meeks and Carla Tiana?
Lots to celebrate today. King Barros 89 in chat for the tier one sub, for the prime sub. We appreciate that. But listen, y'all, a toast.
Whoa.
A bubbly to our wonderful friend Tiffany Meeks, to another season in the books with the greatest people I know, and to Boshy Q Bear. Cheers. Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Salute. Cheers, guys.
I'm using the same cup that I left
up in here.
I'm using the same bubbly cup that I left down here on Saturday night when I got fucked up.
This is our eighth season doing Miami Heat Beat.
And really?
Eighth season and another regular season in the books.
It's the first good one. it's the first we've made money.
It really is. It is the first. It's the first that we haven't lost money. Yeah, we've been in the red for seven seasons. Congratulations! Look at that.
Yeah.
Progress.
One time for the profits.
Thanks, Second Christian.
I'm Second Christian. Cooking the books.
Oh yeah,
Brass. What are you drinking tonight?
So I made a drink called an artichoke hold, which was Chinar, Jamaican rum, lime juice, orgeat, some Saint Germain. It's good. It's real good because listen, artichoke hold because we got this league in a fucking chokehold. We got them right where we want them.
Yeah,
Why would we want any other bracket? Have you seen this bracket?
I mean.
Clearly, the only reason is this had to have been intentional, right? I mean, absolutely. Come on.
I want to get into that a little bit. I don't want to go too off on that topic, on that tangent. But y'all out here, man, in the YouTube comments, on Twitter, talking about this is what you wanted.
You
want to be battled. Get the fuck out of here.
Listen, I'll say
I want the easiest road.
That's how you prove you're not a fluke.
I want all those boys that soft as baby shit.
I will say, though, it's the path that would feel the fucking best, though.
Sure, but you know what would also
beating
feel
the Knicks
good?
In the first round would feel way better.
Yes.
Ending their season.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just think it's fucking. I just think it's funny. Like,
no, you know what, though? No, G. That's the thing. With Knicks fans, and this is my problem. This is the problem I have with fucking Knicks fans here. Is it doesn't
rest.
Matter. It doesn't matter. Listen, Alf can control that. It doesn't matter if we match up with the Knicks and we swept their asses and we just completely destroyed them. It doesn't matter because they're just going to go, oh, well, hey, yeah, but look at this season. Look, no one expected us. So, and it's fucking tired. We said many times, this is the fucking bubble. This is the fraud season that's happening right now because of all the COVID and just all the fuckery that went on early on in the season. And even if we would have whooped them, you couldn't go full UD in their face. So
I think G said it on Twitter today. It's like the fact that either the Knicks or the Hawks will be in the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's a fraudulent fucking season.
Oh, that's the happy 100%. To be here series. It's the happy to be here series live on NBA TV. It's disgusting.
But you know what? They're praying it ain't the Hawks.
Oh, yeah.
They're praying.
If I think the Hawks would be a way better basketball. Like, they're way more.
It's not about that.
I know.
You know that.
I'm a basketball fan. I don't want that fucking garbage New York team anywhere near the second round. Do not ruin my second round.
But the NBA needs eyes on the TV. Ain't nobody tuning in for the Hawks.
They want that NBA TV. That dusty ass arena. It's gross. How you gonna? It's like, listen.
It's a terrible arena.
It's awful. And at least the Orange Bowl had personality. Like, whatever. It smelled like urine, but that was our urine. That's a shithole. MSG's a shithole. Fuck that place.
Frankie, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm double fisting. I'm doing a little bourbon and a little Pothic Red.
That's a lot of bourbon.
We ain't fucked up tonight, guys.
That's a lot.
Let's
of
go.
I don't see ice in there.
I was going to say,
It melted. I had ice cubes in there.
I was going to say, holy shit. So I was Smith and Schmoldick said they're going to put Knicks Hawks on Spike TV.
Does that even exist?
Yeah.
You too.
That bitch
goes somebody say BET.
It's going to be on True TV. It's going to be on True TV at some point.
Ow. It's going to be on BET.
They're going to stream that shit live on Twitch. Is they going to take away some...
Is 106 and Park still on?
No.
No,
I don't know.
I don't know. I ain't watched BET in 20 years.
Happened to Big Tigger?
Yo.
Did you just ask me out that because we black?
I mean,
it was a general question. I was asking.
106 in Park ended 7 years ago.
Jesus
Christ.
Yeah.
Big Tigger.
Somebody
put up. I know. I was like,
I was very... That, You gotta be careful with Big Tigger,
right? Because
then the big right before is just somebody put up like a schedule, like a MTV programming, and it was all that one show. What's that shit called?
Ridiculousness.
Ridiculousness.
Oh, that show sucks. My mom watched
I thought
that.
It was a joke. I thought it was a joke. And then one day, like, I was scrolling, and I'm like, I see MTV. I'm like, that shit is legit. That is
nothing
all
else.
They I'm like, yeah. Yo.
That's all they do.
No
Kobe,
music.
Kobe was on that show. Kobe was on that. They get, like, actual, like, legit guests. Like, Kobe.
Who watches Ridiculousness?
Kanye was on that.
Is that my age showing? Like,
nobody watches that shit.
That's like my mom and her boyfriend watch that shit. They love it.
Is that like what old people do instead of like scrolling through TikTok or Twitter or IG?
Yeah, basically.
Probably. Oh my god! Like I was like, and then I put on BET. It's like Fresh Prince and Martin all day long. What the fuck happened? Like, I guess because like you can go to YouTube and watch whatever music video you want.
Those are good reruns.
Yeah, I'd rather watch Fresh Prince and Martin over Ridiculousness. I'll tell you that much. Listen, I don't know. Does anybody want to talk about this game? Like, I was.
Hey, Tyler Hero.
Why was he playing? Why did Duncan Robinson get that many minutes? Six out of the eight Heat players that played scored in double digits. Young Snap 69 says, first year watching myself. Alf, moving to the network is what got me to check out the network, and boy, am I glad I did. You guys are the best thing about pre- and post-game days. Oh, Heat beat forever.
Thank you,
Young Snap. Thank you. Listen, man, we have gotten so many amazing notes from so many amazing fans of the Heat and just of this show. We have got one of the best, some of the most flattering things I've seen are fans of other teams that watched us after we beat or they beat our team and continue to watch us, even though they're not Heat fans. There's so many people in the mentions that were like, I'm not a Heat fan, but I love the show. And
what did the Celtics fans say in the
– oh.
Yeah, like it basically was just like I was just depressed and I just tuned in and I was like, damn, they even got a better post game show than us. and he keeps on watching. And then also to see the people that were hating on this show when it first started because they didn't get what we were trying to do. And then I see the same people. They didn't get Twitch. They just didn't get the whole vibe of the show. Like, oh, what is this fucking comedy hour? Yes, bitch, it is. Like, I don't know what.
You're having too much fun. Nah.
Yeah, what are you doing? Stop smiling.
Birdo Yardy. Brass. Birdo Yardy 72.
Oh, yeah. Birdo, he got cussed out on Saturday night. Oh, last night. Y'all must be doing, and I'm back. Y'all must be doing something.
Don Tello's in chat. I see him every time. And
Don Tello's still here. Yo, Burrow knew the fuck he was doing. He did that shit on purpose. He got me riled up on purpose because I was criticizing Bam, and he was, you can't criticize Bam. Fuck out of here. I'm criticizing everybody.
Can I give a quick shout out before I change gears to the game?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Vane Hype, thanks for the gifted sub. You're amazing. So we do these watch parties for our patrons. So if you are subscribed to our Patreon, patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat, we do these virtual watch parties on Discord. So when you link your Patreon to the Discord, you have access to like the special like watch party channels. And today we watched the whole game. It was me and a couple of our patrons. We get on a video call or a voice call, and we watch the Heat game together, and we're all making jokes, right? We're having fun time. We're just yelling at Belly dunks and all this shit. So we're going to do some of that for the playoffs. It's a lot of fun. I love doing it. So join us. Join the Patreon page. You get other little goodies like extra pods, extra things. You can next week we're going to do a grab bag where you get to pick the topics of our show. So you can kind of direct what you want us to talk about. Our locker room sessions, if you miss them, they get posted there as well. So check that out. And the watch parties are really fun. I love doing them. We sit there. We have a good time. We have some drinks. We watch basketball. So shout out to everybody who went, everybody who always goes. I love the community out there. And you guys are great. So just wanted to give a quick shout out to that.
Yeah, thank you to all the patrons. Listen, we're getting all sentimental and shit.
Last day of the season. That's what it's about.
Oh my god, Alf, G was crying in the pregame.
Sure. I was crying in the pregame.
Brass is the witness. No.
Why you gotta? Why you gotta Alf me? Alf would have never known. He doesn't watch the pregame.
What are you crying about? What? What are you?
I was emotional, dog. Who are you crying at?
Who you crying at?
I was. We got through a season. Yeah, you know who you crying quit. At? I almost quit last season. I wasn't gonna do this. I wasn't gonna do this season. And we got through it. And I'm happy.
We got through a season like you had an ankle injury.
No, but like I'm glad I stayed. I'm glad that we did this. I love this.
Cross with the broken camera.
Yeah, dude. I'm glad. I'm happy. I this is the happiest I've been. Yeah, I was emotional. Frankie's outing me.
Oh my God, you saw this bait. You saw this
bait. God damn, dude. This is
You're
my
the
baby.
Carl Anthony Towns of Heat Beat.
I'm the Carl Anthony Towns of podcasters.
What's wrong with you?
It's okay, G.
We get on our laptops and fucking talk shit. Like, what? Listen.
This is a lot of work, you know? It's a fuck, you know? Shit doesn't run itself.
We love you too, G. God and we it. Love you for the fact you be out here crying over fucking Heat Beat.
Shout out to Boss Man.
Thank you, Boss Man. G cried like LeBron in 2016 coming back 3-1. Right. Oh. I can't believe you cried on a fucking stream, man.
On a pregame show for a game that none of our players played.
And nobody won.
No one. Yeah.
We had
pathetic. 56 people in.
The most pathetic game of the season. You out here crying.
You're crying on a pregame show. Oh.
Man, I'm watching it.
That I bought
Yo,
the end.
I'm joke. Watching that shit on my big TV in the morning.
Yeah. No, it was funny because Frankie's like, "G, are you crying?" And I'm like, "Nah, we're good."
Yes, you can rewatch the video of the pregame show on twitch.tv/MiamiHeatBeat. MIA Heat Beat. It is there, and I'm gonna go back and watch it. Tiff, you want to do like a locker room while we watch you cry?
Yes.
I would have got away with it, but Frankie called me out. I was like,
"Yes,
good shit, Frankie."
Props to G for not crying as often as he does.
Yeah,
yeah.
True.
Yeah,
really, because motherfucker cries all the time. Like,
I'm more impressed that it's the first time you cried on the pregame show.
Yeah,
like
I know
that we know of.
Held it back.
Yeah. That whenever his camera goes out, I bet that's what.
That is. That's my time to wipe.
I need a new cord.
Cable. God, yeah.
It's okay, G. We made it.
Made it. Like it was that hard.
Jesus.
I've been talking through a cracked rib all season.
You see that USB cable? It's fucking. That's adversity.
Instead of ga-ga-ga-ga, it's the wah-wah-wah-wah-wah.
Speaking of ga-ga-ga-ga, the game, we have one. And honestly, I'm a little bit embarrassed because Precious had like 15 fucking dunks tonight. It was insane. Like, the greatest lob threat in the history of basketball tonight was Precious Achiuwa. But we have, you know, because I was looking back, one of our highest rated shows featured Max Strus in the title. Which is funny, but that's all also YouTube algorithms and weirdo shit. The Winter Soldier, the White Wolf. So we have our player, the game. Brash, you got it?
Yep.
So here go Max Strus. He calls for the pick. Goes the other way. Oh, shit. Man, you see that pull up on the look at the bench was going nuts. That pull up on the rim. Oh, he was waiting for this one.
Yeah.
He almost hit his forehead on that bitch on the swing through.
He said this was his time.
Yeah, I mean, I love how he called for that pick and then went the other way. Like, this defender was like, oh shit, what? And he did that thing where he touched Precious like, no, this is my man. the same shit we saw. No. I'm guarding him. Oh, why you ain't roll? Why you ain't get him? But yeah, so that was a play of the ga-ga-ga-ga game. We're gonna have some imaging for that for y'all. Man. There he goes.
been a minute. We've come a long way.
Oh,
man.
The
show. I forgot about that.
The
Brass, at the end of the show, can we go down memory lane of like all the like old fuck? Can we like get rid of all the old stuff or like go through all the old stuff? Because I feel that'd be funny.
We'll do that coming up.
The whole Miami Heat movie.
No, not today.
No, we'll do it soon enough. End of the season. If not today, then when, Brass?
We have.
I don't know. We got a week off, motherfucker. I don't know. Maybe
somewhere in there. Three shows we need to do.
About Javon always asks content.
She's like, can we go through the whole thing? Brass is always like, no. Brass is a stern parent. No, no. Can't. I'm turning the score around.
I mean, whatever. I can do it now. But there is, speaking of, I don't have the video clip, but I do have audio of Eric Reed was unimpressed by a Precious dunk attempt. So
here comes Precious. Look out. He tried to rip the rim down. Might want to use a protractor to judge that angle on when to take off.
I took it back to math.
Eric Reed geometry been a savage this year.
Jesus. He reset. I don't know if you got the right angle, buddy.
Yeah.
He's been honestly his best season in I don't know how long.
Yeah.
On a tear.
Absolutely.
On a tear.
Well, honestly, like I feel like Eric is like us this season. Like we stopped giving a shit and fucking we're having the blast.
There is something
just like
about,
Eric, man, like
about being away from the team and being separate. Like he'd be on some shit on them road games.
He's got to fly with them.
He ain't got to fly. Right. He ain't got to see nobody after. He probably ain't even wearing pants. He got
Max Strus doesn't know who he is.
Yeah, he never even met him. Yeah, I mean, Eric Reed has been goaded this year to make up for how terrible Crotty is, but that's a whole nother.
When they had a couple of those national games, like I kind of miss the situations a little bit. Like
no, yeah. I only miss him like when that Marv game because he was breathing into the microphone, and then we had Reggie Miller trying to fill it. That was the worst podcast I've ever seen.
Kodak moment.
That game announced his retirement.
Yeah, that
I mean,
legit.
Honestly,
because he's officially retiring now.
Yes,
I think that was it.
Oh, he is.
Yeah,
yeah, that was it.
Honestly, I feel like that game was like I can't.
For three.
I'm like, God damn.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I was like, it used
to be remember that used to be Hot Take Harry on yes,
that's some inside shit.
Oh my god. They used to breathe like a pervert on
like
that bitch.
What this like? But why do we breathe with our mouths like that? Like,
yeah,
damn.
It's like, bro, I just move away from your mic for a second. I don't know what was going
Nobody
on.
Nobody told Marv, like, hey Marv, you know, you're breathing with your mouth to the mic. This is a live broadcast on national television. It was like
you don't want his ass to bite back.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to roman.com/heatbeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
Transition.
End the show.
We have
no, take us out.
That made me. Yeah, no, I didn't like that.
That bites.
I didn't like any of that. Gee, cut your cable, bro.
Chris Bosh.
See, that's further proof. Like, he shook his desk around and shit, and like yeah. The camera was fine. He's really. It's when he's got the tissues near.
Someone says Marv don't got any teeth left to bite with. Okay.
Hey, fucking God.
Someone, and that vein hype just does this. I'm not repeating it. Like, it just like vein hype just doesn't even just gets oh, right. Yeah. Like
the subtleties just not there.
But listen, one thing we do have to celebrate. Honestly, we did get through a really good season. It's been the best season in Miami Heat beat history. One of our favorite players ever, Chris Bosh, is being inducted into the Hall of Fame, part of the 2021 class, along with other assholes like Mike Wilbon and Paul Pierce. But we want to focus on Chris Bosh. And Brash, you have made a little montage of some of our favorite moments of Chris Bosh in a Miami Heat jersey. And this is just some of them. There's so many more, but these are just some of our favorites.
Hola.
5 years as Bosh flies in and slams it home. Oh, what a play by Bosh.
Oh, my, the right hand dunk.
¿Cómo están?
Durant on the drive. Gets inside, blocked by Bosh. What a rejection from Chris Bosh.
Yo estoy muy bien.
Three triples in the fourth quarter. Walton made a mistake, not fouling Wade on the dribble. Chris Bosh had to reach back for that. What a play by a shot by Chris Bosh.
That's right. Three for you.
Wow.
You do it again here. Walton shoot the play first as you get caped up. Wait, he's got the capes like James Brown. Championship. Oh my goodness.
Put the cape on it.
Bolivian!
And so now, just a little bit of a breather. Didn't you see?
You guys had a mentality approaching these three games.
I think we did good. I think we did real good. Good shit.
Puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining.
Unbelievable. He caught it in front of the line.
Green trying to get free. Cross-court pass to Green. Green blocked by Bosh. Game over. There'll be a game seven.
Great job, Brash.
Chat loved it.
Yeah, that was so good.
Great job, Brash.
Look who just wiped their eyes. Look who just wiped their eyes.
I tell you, I got chills the first time I saw that from Brash just because, man, the way that his career ended, Joe G is not okay.
No.
The way his career ended here, the way his career went here, the amount of bullshit he took from the national audience, national media, And it, we watched him every day, day in and day out, just give his all for this team. I mean, just the anchor of one of the best defenses we've ever seen. Five guys on a string, and he was a guy that cleaned up everyone else's mistakes. I mean, just an amazing player, an amazing person. And for him to be in the Hall of Fame after the way the career ended, like it kind of just, it kind of soothes some of that pain. And honestly, G, I want you to go into it a little bit and just give your thoughts on it, because there's not a lot of people who talk about the big 3 years as well as you do. I think because like your fandom became, like your Heat fandom became so solidified. You're already a Heat fan, but like that was like your formative years as a Heat fan. And I feel like that's when you really got involved and understood and started learning the game of basketball more and more. So I just kind of want you to talk about Bosch's impact and just the big three in general.
I mean, what they asked of him wasn't being done by anybody at the time, right? Like maybe Kevin Garnett a little bit, but even then it was like, they asked him to play a position that he was not used to. Chris Bosh was a four, and he did not play a lot of five. And even today I tweeted on the Heat Beat account, like, it's incredible that a center in that block by Bosh play when he gets Danny Green, how he, A, sniffed out the play, right? There was, I was off an inbound. They were doing some screen actions. He saw the play. He knew what was coming. He ran directly to that corner. He saw it happening. And for a five to have the foot speed to do that, it's just incredible, because that was not what he was used to. He sacrificed so much because the Heat ran a lot of inverted sets. Eric Spoelstra really pioneered using guards in positions of bigs and bigs in positions of guards. And Chris Bosh's shooting ability, his quickness, his versatility, his selfishness to say, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice my numbers, because Chris Bosh was a 20 and 10 guy in Toronto, and the rebounding numbers were not so good in Miami. Part of it was he played a little bit outside, right? He wasn't down in the paint. He wasn't really going to rebound. He wasn't doing all that stuff. He was like, I'm going to do what's best for the team. What I'm being asked to do, bought into Eric Spoelstra, because remember the noise, there was a lot of noise at that time. And when you get buy-in from a guy at his stature, a Hall of Fame stature, it's incredible. And what he did for bigs in this game today, they don't look the way they do, right? So, I mean, the innovation that Eric Spoelstra did, a lot of it was, of course, LeBron being a superhuman, but Chris Bosh being the kind of player that he was allowed the Heat to unlock a version of basketball that we are enjoying and loving across the league. So that guy is 100% without a doubt a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest dudes to ever play this game, one of the most selfless, one of the most interesting, one of the most, like, by every account, kind, giving, and, like, you know, the fact that he could not be on this team right now, because as Schmeithen said, he and Andre are the same age, he would fucking be here right now. He would be on this run. He would still look good. And it's just, it's a fucking shame. But that guy forever, man. Chris Bosh for life.
Absolutely, man. And well said, G. And I will say this, Tiff, and I don't think, you know, when we see what Bam Adebayo does, sometimes I feel like Chris Bosh walked so Bam Adebayo could run. You know what I mean? Like, right. They, and I'm not saying they do all the same things, but no one would have ever imagined you can't do positionless without Chris Bosh. Like, right. You have to have a guy who can play, I mean, who can play three. Basically, he was playing three positions for them at any given time. And he was blowing up pick and rolls. They weren't doing as much switching. They were doing a lot of different things, but Chris Bosh is the precursor for what Bam Adebayo has become, right?
Right.
And just the fact that he was able to do all of this as, you know, a 6'11", almost 7 foot guy who was, you know, he played in the post in Toronto.
Right.
Then he came out here and he was out of the perimeter.
I always think about, like, imagine had they drafted Bam while Bosh was still playing.
Oh.
So let's just imagine had there been no Whiteside and there would have been Bosh there. Imagine how much further along Bam would have been in his development, just learning on the court in real time from a player like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Frankie, when Bosh added the three to his repertoire, and he became with that stretch five where it was kind of unheard of a little bit. And I mean, imagine in today's game, he'd be shooting eight threes a game. maybe more. Like he be, you know, he be 3 for 8, 4 from 8 every single night from three. You know, I remember when he made like, what was it, 3 straight 3s against Boston?
Yep, game 7.
Oh my God, the dude had so many big moments. This was for a guy his size, a guy in his position, it was unheard of before Bosch was doing it. And I feel like that's finally getting recognized. And hopefully over the course of the next year, more and more people will start to talk about the different ways that he, yes, Eric Spoelstra came up with a great game plan, but he allowed Eric Spoelstra to do that because of the way his versatility as a player.
And his buy-in. I think G mentioned it earlier, his buy-in and his selflessness to go from a 20-10 max player to be the third guy on the championship team, to be the guy. His weakness was on defense, and he became that spot-up shooter. He became that level defender, meet at the level on the screens. He was hedging. He was the biggest reasons they could do trap defense and scramble defense with LeBron and Wade on the backside was because Bosch was there to be active and use his hands, create steals, get deflections, and he was quick enough laterally to move his feet and he was quick enough to stay with guards. Like nowadays you see the switches and stuff, but he was staying and containing and creating traps and creating mismatches, letting the playmakers make plays, him being a spot up shooter, sacrificing, allowed Spo to create an inverted offense and use Wade and LeBron as more as big men, put Bosch in the corner and bring out the five. You mentioned the game 7 against Boston. That's all because you can put Bosch in that corner and KG has to decide, do I help on LeBron going to the rim or do I give up 3 points to Chris Bosch every time? And that's just this guy who just sacrificed and changed his career off the word of Chris, of Dwayne Wade and off the sacrifice of Udonis Haslam before him and just understanding that I need to be a different player to make this championship team a championship team, and I need to do it again and again and again. How many guys do you talk about a dominant performance in game 7 who scored 0 points?
Yep.
He had one of the best game 7s of all time. He didn't score a single point, and he just wreaked havoc defensively. He was everywhere defensively and created opportunities for the guards to go off. Because no matter what happens, it doesn't matter how many points he has, Tim Duncan's not going to leave him and let him get going. So Dwayne Wade's going to go off and score 20-plus. LeBron James going to score 37 game 7 because they can't. The big man cannot help because Chris Bosh is who he was, a Hall of Famer, 2-time NBA champion, 11-time All-Star with a shortened career. This guy would have had an incredible resume. He would have had even more if it wasn't for those fucking blood clots, and we miss him every day. Swish Bosh forever.
I remember when LeBron left, and, you know, it's just you get – even if you sort of expected it, you just got the wind knocked out of you, and he's like, fuck, like, I don't want this to be it, you know, because, I mean, the last 4 years were so incredible. And then shortly after that, he posted that on social. And I remember I was so hyped. I just felt so comforted because not only is he just an incredible player, but he's an incredible person, and he is, like, the dude, man. Like, he is the guy I felt like – so I felt like the team was going to be in incredible hands. And obviously, you know, Dwayne was still around, but like you knew it's like, okay, this is Bosch's time to shine.
Yeah. And he bought in when you were worried that everybody was selling their Heat stock. Chris Bosch bought in and kind of stabilized this franchise, even with only being able to play like half the next 2 seasons.
He had the chance to go play with Harden in Houston back home, and he stayed. Late.
Yeah, he stabilized his franchise, and I don't think people give him enough credit for that. And Frankie, one of my favorite Bosch memories is, like, you brought it up, that game 7 against the Spurs, and you will have the casuals. And if you say something like this, you are a motherfucking casual. Like, if you say, oh, Bosch scored 0 points in a game 7, how is he the Hall of Famer? Go back and watch that tape. They left him on an island against Tim Duncan. They did not help him all game. They were like, they are not going to kill us from three tonight. And they said, Bosch, you have to stop Timmy. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did, right? Like, And yes, Timmy got his, but he had to work so fucking hard for it. And
I got the numbers right here.
All of that was because of fucking Bosch.
Yeah. That Spurs team, for anybody who's old enough to remember that game, that series vividly, that Spurs team was an offensive fucking nightmare. They were a dynamite. Do you guys remember? Can you guys take a guess how many points the Spurs scored in that game seven?
Oh, it was like in the low 90s?
88. That Spurs team, yeah, you said Duncan got his numbers, 24 points, 8 of 18 shooting.
Yeah, bro, it was a clinic. I used to make my son was biggest guy in his team, but super athletic, was also the fastest, tallest, strongest. I used to make him watch that Chris Bosh game seven. And I said, listen, if you don't score a fucking point in a game, make sure on the other end of the floor you are doing this kind of shit. Yeah. Chris Bosh was everywhere in that game seven. One of the best games, honestly, the best basketball game I've ever seen in my life is game seven. A lot of people talk about game six. Game six was a terrible fucking game.
Yeah.
It was not a good game of basketball. Game seven was one of the most beautiful games of basketball you'll ever see. And Chris Bosh's defense in that game was fucking amazing.
And not only on Duncan, but in before game six, he mentioned Danny Green, that we've got to change our focus, and he's going to help that. And he's blitzing on Danny Green, pushing him off, going high, pushing him against the three-point line, making Danny Green back up and get small, force the ball, and recovering back onto Tim Duncan so Tim Duncan can't kill them inside. That's just his versatility. His
everywhere.
Hustle, everywhere.
And he didn't have to score a point to impact that game. And I think he said before the game, what was it like? Basically, Danny Green is not going to hit another three, or it was either he's not going to hit another three, or he's not going to have another open three.
Yeah, the open three.
He made sure he did not have. Remember, Danny Green set a record through five games.
They were doubling Tim the entire series, and that was a decision that they had to make. They're like, "Are we gonna, you know, let's trust Chris, and if Tim has a good scoring night, let's make it hard for him." But Gary Neal and Danny Green and Patty Mills have
those proven are the guys it. That were killing them.
Yeah. Bro, that was I mean, like, not to like go down memory lane, but like that series, remember Dwayne, you know, Bosch probably like in general had a better series, like a really underrated series. Dwayne didn't look so good until the back half. He had that huge what was it, game five in San Antonio when they needed it, and that he finally came alive. And bro, then Chris Bosh,
remember Tiago on him.
Yeah, and I remember game six, he was out of the game for much of the run that brought the Heat back.
Yeah.
Dwayne was out because Dwayne his knee wasn't right. And then, everyone
talked for game seven.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right.
Him and LeBron were like, oh, you're not going to guard us in the mid-range? We'll just fucking kill you. Dwayne all night. Death by a thousand cuts. There's mid-range, 16-footer, 18-footer, 17-footer. All day long. But yeah, man, it's fun to reminisce. And it's nice that quick
about what he did culturally for like Heat fans. Like we talked about like on the on-court shit, but like the video bombs, like the how active he was in the media. I mean, like he was going on Levitar like all the time. Which that shit matters. Because like Dwayne and LeBron weren't doing that kind of stuff. They weren't as accessible. Bosh did a ton of interviews. Bosh was really accessible to the public. He was the best interview I think anybody will tell you that was covering the team. He was super candid. He was super honest. He was super vulnerable.
He went on first take.
Dude, he was,
remember that?
He was visible. Yeah. After Skip Bayless and talked all this shit about him that he went on.
He was Skip Bayless was calling him a woman and all this stuff.
Jack
being a sexist, terrible.
Shaquille O'Neal called him the RuPaul of big men. It was bad. Like people were being like super like homophobic and transphobic and misogynistic about Chris Bosh's game when he came here, and like the way that he withstood that, chin up, like just an incredible dude. The video bombs, Bam is still doing that shit. Jimmy's doing the interview, which by the way is like my favorite shit in the world, where Jimmy tries to play the straight man and Bam tries to be a goof. It's so fun. But like that's Chris, dude. That shit was started by Bosh. Best 4 years of my life.
He's also just he's brilliant. I mean, I could hear I want him to do a TED talk like every day. Like it's like,
fuck yeah.
Fuck, he's just fascinating, and he's got the best personality. He's incredible, man. I just love everything.
Well, I think it's funny you brought that up, G, because the Heat culture was always Alonzo Mourning. Udonis Haslam, like gritty, in your face. You know, he was one of the first guys who embodied Heat culture on the court. But then when he got off the court, he had a personality. And they could, like, and listen, I've been around the Heat organization. They like to kind of repress some people's personalities. And Bosh's personality could not be repressed.
No.
And they could not stop him from being who he was. And honestly, I feel like Jax became more of himself. You know, Jax is a really funny, playful guy. And he became more of himself because, like, what are you going to do? Sit there straight face when Chris Bosh is taking the fucking, you know, the protector off your microphone and punting it? Like, he was able to, like, take that, all that, you know, the stress of the fucking game and the Heat grit and grind. And then afterwards, you smiled and you laughed. And honestly, I think part of that, like, that big three era and just being able to laugh and have a good time in Heat Twitter is where this show comes from, is where, like, Miami Heat Beat was born from. Because we're all about, hey, listen, we're going to get into analytics. We're going to talk about the game. Fuck them numbers, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of it, we're going to smile and we're going to laugh through it. And Chris Bosh was a huge part of that.
Well, and this is
Those games are stressful.
It's also a big fuck you to all the people that said that, oh, Chris Bosh, Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
No. Come on. What the? You're just got that big three mentality. It's ridiculous. Like, no. The Bosh ain't shit. It's
so weird, like 11 All-Star appearances, and you're saying...
And two-time champ.
Two-time champ. It never made sense. Right.
Olympic gold medalist, and you're like...
All-NBA. And
13 seasons.
Yeah.
And nobody's questioning Ben Wallace.
Right.
Yeah.
Ben Wallace.
How did Ben get in before Chauncey Billups?
That's Mitch Richmond is in the fucking Hall of Fame. Get the fuck
Chris
out
Mullins
of here.
Chris Mullins in the Hall of Fame.
Hey, Boyd Anderson, South Florida, great Mitch Richmond. You calm down. No,
he's great. He's not Chris Bosh.
The fact that the best player out of Run TMC is not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Because Tim Hardaway is undoubtedly the best player out of Mitch Richmond, Chris Mullin, and Tim Hardaway. I don't even think it's close. Like, am I wrong? Did I miss a lot of Chris Mullin's career where,
He's living off NBA Jam. He's like,
was Chris Mullin leading teams to the Eastern Conference Finals? Like, I don't remember that happening, but I may be wrong. You know, I might be misremembering Chris Mullin's career, but
I saw someone in chat ask something interesting, Alf. It was like, who would you, here we go. The Dillinator one said, who are you choosing, Jimmy or Chris in his prime?
What do I need?
Let's say
that's a hard one.
That's hard, man.
That's tough.
If you're starting a team, I would probably take Jimmy.
Jimmy has guts.
If you need that piece,
I think I may go Jimmy.
Jimmy does.
Is Jimmy a Hall of, Jimmy's like not a for sure Hall of Famer. Like Chris is like, Jimmy might not get to 11 All Stars, but it's a harder position because wing in this era is just like really fucking hard.
I think his performance in last year's finals.
Yeah, Chris could never do that.
It's going to propel Jimmy to a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I think he's going to have to get a ring.
I don't even think so. I just think a
couple more All Star games.
I think he just became his
another finals run.
If he gets All NBA this season, that really helps.
Jimmy Butler's for sure an All NBA player.
Listen, they keep moving, but they keep moving the goalposts.
Yeah.
So, come on. Like, we feel like, all right, it's happening, but, like, he's going to have to do something else spectacular to be like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, Jimmy, I think at minimum is making an All-NBA second team this year, judging by, like, what kind of just looking at the ballots and, like, who's available and, like, what people are saying and voters. So, like, I think at minimum he gets second. And he's made 3 13s before. He's a 5-time All-Star. Should have been a 6. That's why I got so mad this year when he didn't make it. And I was like, I know that the game's played thing.
Jimmy's game and Jimmy's reputation kind of transcends All-Star appearances.
I mean, 5 is good. I mean, he'll make another 3.
Listen, and he'll make more. But I think so many people just appreciate. Because what I think with the Bulls, you appreciated him. After the Timberwolves thing, you're like, what's going on with him? Then the Sixers thing. And then you just see that every team he goes to
successful
gets better.
And when he leaves, they're worse. Look at Philly last
year.
Right.
So it's like it's that whole like MVP thing where, you know, how much better does he make your team? Jimmy always makes his team better, and Chris Bosh is the same way. I'm just saying, but when it comes to, I don't think there's some of those accolades. I think Jimmy's whole persona like basically brushes off the accolades. He doesn't need accolades. He doesn't need to score 30 points a game. He doesn't need all these. He doesn't need your numbers. He doesn't need the Jimmy by a cult of personality alone just has this. I think there's enough people that are going to say, man, this guy, every team he went to, he completely changed the entire, you know, the ethos of that team. So I don't know if you're going to be able to quantify him like that.
Right. But that's the exact problem that the league has right now. That's the reason why you got casual people saying that like James Harden is like the second best shooting guard of all time. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
Right. But that's exactly. Yep. That's the problem. Cause it's like, all right, he can score, but if I got to take one person that's going to lead me in the playoffs, I'm not taking him. His resume hasn't shown me anything that he can get me to the finals because he hasn't done it.
I mean, you know, looking at Chris's kind of like resume, right? Like his best season, 24-11, that on 52% shooting, 52%. That's fucking crazy, right? Like that's a monster. This is his best season. He's at 22-7-7 with two steals on 50% shooting, which is also like fucking bonkers, right? But Chris wasn't the defender in Toronto that he was when he got to Miami. So I think even in Chris's best seasons, I think Jimmy's been a better player. But I mean, look at what Jimmy did in the finals, right? Like that's a level of talent. And like Tiff, we've said this a lot. Jimmy's not just talent, it's sheer power of will.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying, G. It's the he transcends numbers. A lot of people will like they appreciate Jimmy outside of the numbers. A lot of people didn't do that for Bosch. Right. Because when Bosch finally had the chance to say, okay, you can lead the team now, you're the number one guy, you're the max player, he got hurt. So he never really had that shot. When Jimmy had that chance in the finals, he showed you, I can drop 40-point triple-doubles.
Yeah.
So I think, like, everyone understands that if Jimmy wanted to, he could probably score 30-something a night and be Bradley Beal on a bad team. Maybe he could be Russell Westbrook, you know, with a triple-double record and, you know, not winning. The guy cares about winning, and that I think that whole mentality of doing whatever it takes to win that they didn't award to Chris Bosh, they awarded Jimmy Butler. He just has that. He has that mystique around him that he cares about winning above all else. So that's why I think a lot of these numbers are just going to fall off of him. When it comes time to vote for Hall of Fame, I think Jimmy's going to be there.
I think so.
By the way, breaking news: LeBron and Anthony Davis got hurt just now.
What? Wait, both of them?
LeBron went to the locker room
hurt.
I believe Anthony Davis probably got hurt again.
Yeah, no, LeBron went to the locker room and Anthony Davis they both hurt their ankle.
Anthony Davis get hurt walking off the bus.
Bro, Anthony Davis needs like a playing time and a locker room time.
Yo, he gets hurt sneezing. I swear, this is the hurtest motherfucker I ever seen in my life. Yo, so his big, tall, goofy ass can't even put his shoes on without getting hurt. No, I'm sorry, but you supposed to be, what did they say? He top five in the league?
Yeah.
He fragile as Charmin. Like, I don't understand this. I'm sorry, but I just don't get it. I don't get it.
No, keep going, Tiff. Go off, Tiff.
You're late on that, right?
Music.
Getting turned up in here. I'm just pissed off because they supposed to be so fucking great, and we won, and we did this, and we did that. No, y'all fuckers is old and fragile. That's what it's coming down to. So you know what? Stay hurt, get blasted by Steph Curry, and then get beat again and go home. Fuck them.
Midnight Poutine said, fuck them tendons.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.